Radio Reverb, Brighton Festival 2017. Now, all of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival 2017 with Rebecca Sandals on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on digital radio and online at radioreverb.com. I'm Rebecca Sandals, and this is Friday's Brighton Festival special. Brighton Festival rules the Reverb waves from 5 to 6pm Monday to Friday during May and is repeated at 10pm and 8am. We're looking behind the scenes at the festival, meeting some of the performers, creators and people who make it happen. And today, it's all about the weekend and how to get involved as Brighton Festival goes into overdrive.
Digital radio in Brighton, flick past the other boring stations and
we'll be taking a look at events around the city that aim, in the words of guest director Kate Tempest, to smash you back to feeling. And I'll be hearing how we're all invited to cast a pebble on Brighton Beach to create the biggest canvas in town. Melita Dennett is here to give a beginner's guide to one of the most important voices in British folk, Sussex folk legend Shirley Collins. Hangleton Community Centre is to host a weekend of music, dance, theatre and spoken word, and I'll be chatting to the folk there about their involvement in festivals, Your Place. That's all to come in the next hour during our Brighton Festival special, supported by Brighton Festival here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. Let's start with some music from an act taken to the stage at the Dome tonight, if you're listening to the live show on Friday, and it's Brighton-based Ocean Wisdom. Ocean Wisdom there, who along with the Four Owls and Jam Baxter are bringing hip-hop to the Dome tonight. And tickets are still available, so if you're scratching your heads wondering what to do with your Friday night and listening to this live, get yourselves along to the Dome for a bit more of Ocean Wisdom. You're listening to Radio Reverb's Festival Special. I'm Rebecca Sandals, looking ahead to events across the weekend, far and wide, across Brighton and Hove. And this year's guest director has made clear that she wants the 51st Brighton Festival to play out across all of the city's varied communities. Kate Tempest has said that the arts should be social, not elitist. They should be part of our everyday life. They should be in our communities, not only on elevated platforms or behind velvet ropes. Well, I went along to the Hangleton Community Centre this morning to meet the centre's manager, Valerie Fauchet, and others to find out just how that vision is becoming a reality in Hangleton.
It is a very busy place, and today it's just slightly much busier than usual, but you arrive at the time where parents come to drop their children at nursery. We also have a soft play that a lot of parents of young children use. We have a space that is rented also upstairs, so we have a Princess Trust team program based here. We have the ITF team from Brighton and Hove City Council based upstairs. And in the hall, we offer all kind of activities. The circus project is based here, so there's a lot of circus, aerial circus classes. And then sports, dance, music, craft activities. Also in the evening, the centre is used a lot in these little rooms for community groups meetings.
So we've come into a side room to speak now, because outside is the normal noisy day here, and it sounds like arts is a part of what happens here on a regular basis, really arts in the community.
Yes, arts in a broader sense. Performances, not really.
Something and new.
I've been here for 2.5 years now, and at the first time we have a real artistic performances that is offered to the community. And that's what is very, very exciting, that we're going completely out of what's happening here usually. And usually here at weekends, the main hall and the soft play and smaller rooms are rented by parents for children birthday parties. And we have to do that. And we open every single weekend of the year except for Christmas and New Year to get the centre going. So seeing the centre open for weekend, where it's just performances and workshops and creative activities for the local community, it's wonderful. It's such an opening into the art and the creative and artistic world that actually we don't have that much.
And I'm Ruth O'Leary, and I'm a volunteer coordinator. My main role has been to recruit some volunteers for a pop-up community cafe. And basically, it's in order to raise some funds for the centre for very specific pieces of equipment that we might need, because funding is obviously an issue, as we all know.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because in the middle of organising all this fun and the entertainment, you have to keep thinking about funding. It's funding as a community centre, funding for the arts. It's never ending.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's really important because this is a brilliant community centre and it's really valuable to our local community. And actually, I think a lot of people don't really understand how many activities and clubs that are run from here. So it's a really lovely opportunity to, again, get people in who maybe haven't been in for a while just to sort of see what's going on.
And what kind of people are you hoping that might come along over the weekend that don't usually come along to the community centre?
Well, primarily, Kate Tempest, who's the guest director for the Brighton Festival, wants people who can't ordinarily afford to be able to come along to these events, who might find, you know, have a bigger family, for example, bus fares are an issue, to have something on their doorstep. And all of the activities are free. So we're hoping that we'll get more local residents in, BN3 postcodes particularly. But it's obviously open to the wider community and we've got some tickets available. So everybody is welcome. So, yeah, just come and see us.
And what are you most looking forward to yourself then that's happening across the weekend?
As in events or just...
I don't know. Everyday epic. Tell me, it could
everyday,
be anything.
Everyday epic.
I mean, maybe not too just, personal.
Yeah, okay. Well, just basically just getting people together, you know, just getting our community together, because it's a rare opportunity to get everybody in one place. So that excites me a lot. And yeah, there's some fantastic shows and workshops, so I'm looking forward to quite a few of them. It's the first of its kind, so long may it continue.
I'd love this to plant a lot of seeds in children's opening to art, in parents engaging with the children more through some of the workshops, and for the community centre to attract more performances and artistic activities. That would be really wonderful.
Valerie Fauché, the centre manager, and volunteer Ruth O'Leary speaking to me at Hangleton Community Centre earlier. And while I was up there, I also wanted to find out a bit more about just how the community groups had been working along with the festival. So I took a walk along the corridor and spotted some staging being set up. So we've come inside the main hall here. I assume it's the main hall, is it?
Yes.
And there's setup going on for performances over the weekend, and I'm joined by...
Naomi Alexander, the Artistic Director of Brighton People's Theatre.
Okay. And
Nicole Money, I'm Information Advice and Guidance Coordinator at the Hangleton and Knoll Project.
Great. Now, it's all very exciting in here. What actually has been your involvement in getting this going?
So the Brighton Festival approached me back in the autumn to ask me whether I might be interested in helping them to realise Kate Tempest's vision for bringing the arts out into different communities across the city. And I was like, yes, I would absolutely love to do that. So I spoke to some people that I knew in the community sector across the city and started talking to Nicole in Hangleton and Graham Allen over in Whitehawk, and formed partnerships with the Hangleton Knoll Project and Due East in East Brighton.
Was your first reaction, wow, that sounds like hard work, or grab it and run?
My reaction was, what a brilliant thing to bring to Hangleton, especially because so many residents here don't access the arts, don't necessarily go into Brighton, can't afford to go to a lot of performances, and to actually bring it out into the community, I think, was a really brilliant idea.
Now, you've been enthusiastic. How about the people in the community being involved? What's the...
There's a real enthusiasm, actually. I mean, the steering group members are members of the community, and they were very, very enthusiastic right from the very beginning, and giving their time on a voluntary basis to help get this going. In terms of the youth work team at the Hangleton and Knoll Project, they've given out all of the tickets. And these are all young people who've never been to anything of part of the Brighton Festival. And they're all coming tomorrow night to do the Audio Active and the Culture Clash and to see Kate Tempest. And this is all quite a new experience for them as well.
Do you think it's making people generally think again what the arts means? Because it can sound very much tutus and opera.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think it really has made it more accessible. And I think another element that was really good was also tickets that we could give to people who couldn't afford to go, and they've been able to use them to go to performances in Brighton as well. So I work with people who are unemployed or on very low income, and so for them to be able to bring their children to some of the events that we've got here in Hangleton, there's like Little Pieces of Us, which is making puppets. It's brilliant.
Now, that just endlessly smiling as you were talking about that. Is that the response that you've been getting? Working?
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. So the festival's done this initiative, which Nicole mentioned, called Pay It Forward. At one of the steering groups two meetings ago, the festival came with 200 tickets that had been paid for by other people in the city and said, this is not charity. This is about recognising that there are barriers which stop people from accessing the arts in the centre of town. And this hopefully will make it slightly easier for people to get there. You still have the bus fare, you still have childcare, but this will enable you to actually go and enjoy what's on offer.
And I think the other element that was really brilliant here was that the steering group were involved in deciding which performances were most relevant to the local community. I think
we did a call out for artists across the UK and had some incredible, had a really amazing response, had loads of artists putting in proposals for what they would like to do. We discussed every single idea, put them up on the wall on huge sticky post-it notes, and then everyone had like green sticky dots they put on top to vote for the ones that they would most like to see, and the ones that got the most votes are the ones that we've programmed.
Something for everyone.
Yes, yeah, that's what we hope.
Great, thanks very much. Good luck with it. Thanks. That was Naomi Alexander from Brighton People's Theatre and Nicole Monet speaking to me earlier today at Hangleton Community Centre, the location of this weekend's Your Place event. And in a moment, we'll be joined by Adam Julia from Audio Active to talk more about what's going on at Hangleton over the weekend. First, here's Electric Youth Ensemble, who'll be amongst the artists performing there this weekend. That's the Electric Youth Ensemble. Rather lovely that is too. I'm delighted that Adam Julia, who's joined us in the studio now from Audio Active, sent that through earlier today to share. So thank you. Now, Adam, you've been initiating youth music projects in Hangleton for quite a while.
I'd say Hangleton, that's where it all started. And we've always had some element, I guess, on and off of going on in Hangleton. But it started in Hangleton and quite quickly grew on more of a regional basis. So we actually started off as part of the Hangleton and Knoll project in 2000, and then we set up as an independent in 2004 and then became a regional charity base from there. So this is Electric Youth Ensemble at Hangleton Community Centre tomorrow. Is kind of like a homecoming gig.
Oh, excellent. So Audio Active, it works across Sussex with...
Yep. So I'd say about half the stuff we do is in Brighton, the rest is scattered around Sussex and bits into Kent, some collaborations in London every so often, and the odd bit of international work as well.
And Electric Youth Ensemble, who we heard from just there, tell me a bit about them, because I really did, I think that sounded great.
Electric Youth Ensemble is a collective of, it's a core group of about seven young musicians between the ages of 16 to 19. And they all live in various areas of East Sussex, from right across East Sussex to Battle to Lewes. We rehearse every week. They create all of the material in collaboration with some Audio Active practitioners who are professional artists. We get together every week and jam stuff out, take the bits of the jams we like and develop them into tracks. And it's the only project that we've got that is kind of like a set standard to get involved. We've got lots of music projects. Some of them are kind of verging on therapy and intervention, whereas others are just pure grassroots, learn how to do music. And everything's open access and free to everyone to come to. But Electric Youth Ensemble was something we developed to recognise that some of the young people we work with get to a certain standard and they want to be stretched further. And within what we do, which is mainly technology-based and urban music, this is our interpretation of ensemble work In a contemporary way, I guess.
Well, I think they're doing quite well. I think they're doing quite well from that little track I've just sound there.
And
they're actually performing as part of the Your Place at Hangleton Community Centre. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Is that a hot ticket that's already gone?
It's all gone, I'm afraid, yeah. And, you know, it's going to be quite an intimate gig with it being, I think, about 100 capacity. It's all sold out, which is, you know, that's the one thing when you put on a performance that I guess you really hope for, is that it can be a good crowd. Interestingly, I think a lot of the crowd are going to be young people or ex-young people who are coming back because of
the
Audio
Active Association. We're all ex-young people, aren't we?
But we've got, you know, I mean, there's, for example, there's a couple of guest sort of Audio Active alumni coming back to take part in the performance, one of which is a grime MC called Eyes, who's nationally recognised now. And he used to come to youth music workshops in Hangleton Community Centre, and this is 8 or 10 years ago. And he's since gone away, done really well for himself, and we've invited him back to perform with the ensemble tomorrow. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people who are friends of Eyes and are like, great, Eyes back in Hangleton.
It's a reunion night, isn't it?
It's a really, it's a beautiful thing.
So alongside the reunion that's happening, there's obviously the idea is to get people in who maybe haven't set foot in the community centre and certainly haven't seen live performances, because that was the impression I got this morning, that people use it. It's obviously a space that is much used by the community, particularly little people running around at the time I was there. But that actually what's happening this weekend is something different. The performances is new. So how are you encouraging those people in? What do you think?
You know what? I think, well, the fact that, for a start, it's free. For the fact that half of the audience, the tickets have been given out through the communities, is a great thing. I'm really pleased that the festival have put this on. And also, it's not just putting on whatever in a community environment. There's really, really good quality stuff going on there over the weekend. And I mean, you know, it's access. I think that, like the previous interviews were saying, it's all about being able to get to something on your doorstep, it not breaking the bank, and to a certain extent, I guess, not knowing what to expect and hopefully being blown away in the process.
And there seems to me there's that combination of performances like your own with the professionals and the semi-professionals coming along.
Yeah.
And also, I heard that where they were looking at sessions, they realised there was nothing for disabled children. Mm-hmm. And there's a session specifically now that will meet the needs and engage in an artistic way with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, that's what Kate, in a sense, and her association with the festival is the epitome of, you know, socially engaged work of the highest quality as well. It's like, you know, it's really nice combination. I think that, you know, what I'm hoping that I think she stands for is the fact that in order for it to be like, you know, I'm doing inverted commas here, guys, you know, excellence and quality doesn't mean, like you say, elevated platforms and velvet curtains.
Well, it's the everyday epic, isn't it,
yeah,
to quote again. It's
that
you can be surprised by seeing something that you don't actually recognise until it suddenly hits you in the face, that it's touching you. It's a normal thing that suddenly moves you in a different way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So
I've always loved that at karaoke nights when you see someone you think you can't sing and then suddenly, wow, Voice of Angel comes out.
Yeah.
Sorry, lowering the tone a bit with karaoke nights analogies. But what are you hoping is going to be your surprise across the weekend then?
I think it's the favourite part of my job is when a young person performs and seeing the impact that that has straight afterwards. And for me, it's kind of never knowing how someone's going to react, but knowing that it's going to be a good thing. You know, it's a nerve-wracking thing putting yourself on stage for something like this in front of your friends and family and people you know. And, you know, I know it will go well, whatever happens. And surprise... Yeah, I think that there's going to be some surprised young people tomorrow night. It's ambiguous, the information in the brochure, and I'm hoping that we're going to surprise a few people in what we bring to the stage.
Now, your event there is sold out, but there are tickets available for other events, and do take a look at the Brighton Festival website for information on how to find out about the Your Place events and get in touch and find out about availability at what's happening up there. You brought in some information about some other stuff that Audio Act were involved in this month.
Yep. So the Goodall Foundation and the Chrysalon Foundation have worked with the festival this year to curate a programme of events called Any Other Business, and the idea is to put the spotlight on various good socially engaged work going on around the city. They're pitching it kind of as a charity open house programme. So it's not strictly arts-based and performance-based stuff. We're putting on an event on the 25th of November at the Basement.
November?
So, 25th of May.
So, just testing if I was listening, weren't you?
The Basement in Kensington Street. It's an early afternoon, I think, 4:30 or 5 start. And our event's going to be called Positive Communities Through Music. We'll have some presentations on our work. We're going to have young people on Q&A panels and have a discussion around positive communities through music and hopefully some performances as well.
So that's one for people who are thinking, what do they get? I'm interested in Audio Active. Is this for me?
That
could
would
I
be
get
the
involved?
Thing. Yeah.
So
tickets are free. If you go to aobbrighton.org and you can find out how to get tickets, and there's a whole load of other events going on as part of that.
And that's the 25th of May at the Basement?
Yes.
Yeah. Not November.
Not November.
Adam Julia from Audio Active, thank you so much for coming in to Radio Reverb and telling us all about what's happening at Hangleton, at the Your Place events, and also the other stuff that Audio Active are involved in. I'm Rebecca Sandals, and you're listening to Radio Reverb's Brighton Festival special, supported by Brighton Festival. Still to come, I'll be down on the beach hearing how throwing pebbles is to become an artistic endeavour. And we have a lesson on a British folk superstar as we hear about Shirley Collins. It's all part of our look at what festival is offering this weekend. Now for some more music. Here's the aptly titled Everybody Loves the Weekend from the Brighton-born pair Bent Cousin. That's Bent Cousin with Everybody Loves the Weekend, Don't They Just. So let's take a look at the weekend in a little bit more detail and perhaps peruse through Saturday's offerings at Brighton Festival. And flicking around making noises with his programme is Alan Wares from the Albion Raw Show. Alan's kindly studio managing, twiddling the knobs for me today, and has also been taking a quick look at what's coming up over the next 48 hours. Let's focus in on Saturday. Today, at this point,
what I'm actually most zeroed in on. I mean, I'm looking at the festival brochure here. I mean, it's obviously a lovely piece of art in its own right. I'm sure that someone will actually do an artistic piece on this one year. It's hugely the London Symphony Orchestra. Now, this is obviously an orchestra with major international significance, and they come down here now. I could never actually sort of list myself as being a classical music. A cognoscente, but I do enjoy listening to a bit of Tchaikovsky, and they're playing Tchaikovsky this weekend. So that's at the Dome.
Yeah.
That's Saturday. I could say tomorrow, but if you're listening to this on Saturday, then it's not tomorrow, and you could be a problem. If you're listening to this live on Friday, it's tomorrow, 7:30 at the Dome. A ticket's going from £10 to £32. I would imagine that's completely gone by now, wouldn't it?
I don't know. You'd have to check on the brightonfestival.org website for availability on everything that we're talking
Absolutely,
about in
yeah.
the festival programmes, because availability will change on a regular basis. It struck me looking through the programme, there's lots on for families on Saturday.
There certainly is, especially if you're over... There's a free family fun Weekend Without Walls that's going on actually on Saturday and Sunday. Well, let's concentrate on Saturday here. It's over at East Hill Park at Port Slade. Now, I think you were saying on yesterday's show, you were saying that Kate Tempest specifically wants the whole thing to be across the city, and Port Slade has probably pretty much been sort of, you know, a distant hinterland in previous festivals, and they're actually sort of really getting involved in this year, aren't they?
Exactly. I think we're saying, you know, the events happening all over the place across Brighton and Hove. And yes, the East Hill Park Saturday family fun, lots of different acts and performances. They're great fun for the kids if the weather, and it's looking like it should be okay tomorrow.
It looks like
for
it's
a picnic
okay.
In
I
park.
Think so, yeah, definitely. I mean, I've got here the listings here. There's some lovely names being featured here. Coco Loco, William Wally, Beryl and Cyril, Bingo Ling. I mean, this is stuff that absolutely passes by. As you said earlier, we all used to be young, but I can't remember this. Do you remember being young?
I think you were saying you can't remember anything after the last few weeks celebrating Albion's promotion. So let's talk about Democracy. There's an event tomorrow evening chaired by Polly Toynbee.
That's right. It's the Salis Benny. I mean, if anyone wants to really sort of have a lovely evening of sunshine, then have a democratic debate at the Salis Benny on a Saturday night. It's absolutely perfect. I mean, we have to be careful what we say here because we are in Purdah, but just suffice to say that there are guests at at this debate that go across the political spectrum, from Caroline Lucas, obviously co-leader of the Green Party, all the way across to Diane James, formerly UKIP leader, and all parts in between. So if you want a good sort of steaming row with lots of people of all political persuasions, and head off down to Salisbury Saturday. Sorry, I'm saying Salisbury. It says Acca here, but whatever you want to do, if you, it's like that. I mean, I think probably for the next few weeks we'll all be barneying politically anyway.
It's at Acca, yes.
Yes.
So let's. I think we're probably running out of time with skipping through Saturday. So, but just should remind, there are plenty of events that run throughout the festival, such as Kathy Pilkington's sculptures, the Life Rooms at the Uni of Brighton on Grand Parade, much loved by Reverb's own Melita, because it's quite dark and challenging. And there's Hum, the downloadable half cinema, half reality app. And there's details on that on the festival website, and we'll be hearing more about Hum next week here on the festival special show on Radio Reverb. Thanks for now, Al. We'll have a look at some of the offerings for Sunday if we get a moment later on. First though, let's hear from a performer coming to the Dome on Sunday evening. Here's Shirley Collins from the 1970 album Love, Death and Lady. So there we've just heard Shirley Collins from almost 40 years ago, probably, or more than that, which was the last time she did an album. She's got a new one out. She's back. I know nothing. So Melita Dennett is here to give me the beginner's guide to Shirley Collins.
Well, how long have we got?
Well,
not long.
No. Control yourself.
It's going to be potted. It's a fan's eye view.
So fan's eye view, who is she and where has she been for the past 40 years?
That's a very good question. She's not been anywhere. She's still been here, but she was working in Brighton Job Centre after she was unable to sing anymore. She had an emotional... I don't know what you call it really, but a severe emotional reaction to being treated rather badly, and it stopped her from singing for the last 30 years or so. So I mean, it's a big deal. The thing about Shirley Collins is, in the pantheon of British folk music, she is the goddess right up there. I mean, her work goes back to the 50s, 60s and 70s, and she is absolutely a classic, quintessential British folk voice. And she's very important because she preserved a lot of folk song as well, a lot of Sussex folk song. I mean, she's a Sussex gal through and through, Hastings born, and been living in Brighton. She now lives in Lewes, so she's very much connected to kind of Sussex folklore, the Sussex countryside.
But isn't she also influenced slightly by folk singers of the US, and she did some studying over there in the 50s or 60s?
Absolutely, yes. In 1959, I think it was, she went off with musical ethnographer Alan Lomax to record sounds and singers from around America. And she's written an amazing book, America Over the Water. So if you're interested in the kind of American folk song of that period, then definitely do check that book out. She's absolutely phenomenal in terms of her collection of folk songs and just her place as a preserver of folk songs within British folk history.
But she's back with a new album, so what are we expecting from Lodestar, and what her performance at the Dome on Sunday?
Well, it's a big deal. I mean, she's an octogenarian, you know, and this is her first time, her first album in 30 years, so that is a kind of big deal, really.
Will there be lots of cardigans at the Dome?
Oh, probably, and beards as well. I'll make sure I wear both of mine. I mean, it is a big deal because she is here back after 30 years, her first album. And she's obviously, her voice has changed. And she had, in her younger days, you know, a very, very clear, unmannered British folk voice. She still has that. But obviously, you know, it's ripened and matured with age. But I think, you know, there is a deal as well about an octogenarian getting up on stage in front of hundreds of people, touring this album and getting back on the boards again. You know, it must be pretty difficult if you've not actually trod the stage for 30 years or so. And I went to an 80th birthday celebration of her in the South Bank 2 years ago now, and to hear her singing again was absolutely phenomenal. But you know, the love that there is for Shirley Collins, just as this living legend, I think, you know, it knows no bounds.
So she's a folk legend. Would you also see her as being a sort of storytelling legend, which fits in obviously with the everyday epic theme of the festival?
I hadn't even thought of that and how she fitted in with the theme, but I think you're absolutely spot on, because let's face it, I mean, these folk songs are storytelling, and that's the nature of what folk music is actually all about. I think it's very interesting as well, thinking back to the kind of the 50s and 60s when folk music was very much on a par with rock music, and people could quite happily kind of move between the two genres and have the two genres sat alongside each other. Now we tend to see folk music as something in a kind of slightly separate box, I think, and maybe the focus now is much more on its value as a storytelling genre. But no, absolutely, she is one of the finest British storytellers.
Well, let's have a taste of her again. So what would you recommend from Lodestar, the new album, which is what I believe she's performing on Sunday? What any particular recommendations?
Well, let's have this one. Let's have Cruel Lincoln from Lodestar.
Said the Lord to his lady, there's blood.
Shirley Collins there with the track taken from her new Lodestar album. And Shirley, with an array of Morris dancers and visuals, will be at the Dome on Sunday evening. Cardigans are optional. And for the record, I love a cardigan. Just in case.
Brighton Festival 2017. All of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival 2017. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
And
slightly.
Tickets are available for all Brighton Festival events, including Shirley Collins at brightonfestival.org. Al, a little
slightly
bit
keen on the button there.
Trigger
sorry about
happy
that.
Happy with a little bit of a. You thought, oh, we've got jingles.
Off.
Quick.
I'm being told off here. I'm sorry, Rebecca.
On this show.
I saw a button, I wanted to press it. You know how it is.
Not really, no. So we had a look at what was happening on Saturday. Let's have a quick glance at a couple of things on offer in the festival on Sunday. What's caught
I've
your eye?
I've got to say, there's something that actually really leaps out here. And I've got to say, this is kind of one of our own here. Sharon Duggle had her book, I think it was her first book, published late last year. Early this year, called the Handsworth Times. She's one of the city reads in the Brighton Festival. She will be at the Salis Benny, as opposed to the political fighting that was going to be is on the Saturday night. That's at ACCA. That's the old Gardiner Centre to you and me at Sussex University. Now, Sharon will be at the Salis Benny Theatre, 4:30. Set in 1981, when factories are closing, unemployment is high, and the National Front is marching, neglected inner city areas are ablaze as riots break out across Thatcher's fractured Britain. It sounds an absolute. I mean, you and I were kind of there or thereabouts in those days. I mean, it's a historical document, but it does actually sound well. As we know, it's one of the books of the year, certainly across this city.
So where's that?
That's going to be at the Salis Benny Theatre on Sunday at 4:30. I also will point out the free family fun that we talked about at East Hill Park on the Saturday is going to be at East Brighton Park. Wilson Avenue, that's going to be from 12 till 5, like Saturday, both at 12 till 5. So more fun and frivolity. And like I say, East Hill Park, Saturday in Portslade, and East Brighton Park, Sunday in Whitehawk.
I also, and I'm just flicking back to find, yeah, Driftwood at the Theatre Royal Brighton is the Casa Circus group show. I've seen them at previous festivals with other stuff they've done. Amazing Australian circus group. And they are on both on actually on Saturday and on Sunday at 2 p.m. Matinees, and Saturday evening 7:30 at the Theatre Royal if you like a bit of circus.
Mm, there is one big thing happening across the city on Sunday. We'll talk about it more because it's not actually festival related, but well, not directly festival related, but it is going to cause a certain amount of chaos across the city. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, now let's look at one event that has caught my eye that's running across both Saturday and Sunday, and that's an interactive art performance event on Brighton Beach. Artists Water and Zonial are inviting visitors to create a vast rainbow of vibrant pebbles in what's described as a part installation, part performance piece down by the Donut Groin on the beach. And I went along earlier as they were getting ready to find out what's in store.
I'm Zoniel, and this is Walter, who's still swallowing.
I'm still swallowing cake. Hi, I'm Walter.
So we are sitting on what's known as the Donut Groin by the locals, who know which groin that refers to, by the pier. And what exactly, with the boxes all around us, what have you got planned down here then?
So tomorrow we have planned a massive kind of public installation where it's interactive to the public and people are invited to engage.
So at the moment, anyone who comes down here on sort of Friday afternoon, first thing Saturday, will see some whitewashed pebbles because there seems to be some whitewashing going on.
We are going to paint it white first.
First of all, we're painting it white. We're whitewashing the pebbles to make a canvas, a blank canvas, so people kind of get the idea that this is the place that they're going to make an impact. And then it's a piece called Spectra. The piece here is called Spectra Cast because we're kind of playing with the things that you'd naturally do on the beach anyway, as in selecting stones and casting stones. And the piece is really about kind of utilising surrealism and fun to take people out of their everyday moment and let them do something they're not normally allowed to do, sort of engaging in the sense of mischief and how that mischief relates to creativity as a whole by kind of stepping over boundaries that you wouldn't normally be sanctioned to.
Yeah. Now, but people do normally come and love throwing pebbles on the beach,
exactly.
Don't they? But they're normally throwing them into the water. So why keeping it on the dry land here, or dryish land?
It's just a way of just expressing. So, hey, it's not just a random act. We're going to ask them questions. So you get asked three questions. And basically, I'm not going to say which they are, so don't worry, I'm getting prodded at the moment by Zoniel.
Don't give it away.
So we ask you three questions, and those questions dictate the colour. And then you get to throw your pebble onto the beach and be part of this lovely kaleidoscope of colour that forms this massive artwork. But also, it's your expression and views on art as a whole. So you get this lovely rainbow of artistic views, I suppose.
Yeah, the final
community.
Piece is like a kind of abstract representation of a debate, really, because every colour will be representative of somebody's opinion. And the piece works on kind of lots of different layers. We don't tend to like to give those layers away, but I mean, some things you just get as you're going. So we tend to have a queue as people are kind of getting ready and selecting their stones. And they're thinking about the questions that they're being asked, and they're seemingly quite straightforward questions. And relating to art, but we've phrased them, we've like put them in a way that hopefully anybody feels that they can answer that question. You know, art is there for everybody, it's open to everybody, and we're firm believers of that. And before you know it, you tend to find people in the queue kind of like maybe having a little debate within themselves or within somebody else that they overhear their answer, and they're like, I'm not sure about that, which is kind of a nice, fun element of it as well.
So people will pick their colour pebble and then maybe change their mind, have a think about it. And
I know, they get to choose the answer, yes or no. So
and then
yeah,
that becomes the colour. So you bring your three pebbles to us, you answer your questions, and then they go, oh, so that's yellow, that's pink, and that's blue. And then they paint them themselves and then throw them on the beach. And therefore, that's how it's done.
Now, your hands are covered in paint
already,
of a red colour today, at the moment.
Caught red-handed.
will people get caught red-handed taking part in this? Messy is it?
It's not too messy, and we have vinyl gloves for everybody.
Put people off, actually, not too messy.
We've tried to make it as mess-free as possible, because we want it to be open to as many people to engage as possible. So, obviously, though the paint that we're using is completely eco-friendly.
As you can tell by their marketing. On the package, it's eco. You mean you can drink
it? I was, of course, going to ask that. So, you know, if you're painting things on a beach, what kind of effect lasting beyond this weekend is there going to be?
It will last if it's warm weather. Hopefully, it'll be here all summer, so people can sit on the beach and have photos of themselves on this multicoloured beach. If it's torrential for the next 2 weeks, then eventually it will just weather away naturally. And it's ecologically sound. It's made for this purpose.
It's so, temporary paint. It's water-based eco-temporary paint. And so, in this context, you have like the final stage of it, obviously, is once we've done this and everybody's kind of got into the crazy, messy, exciting element of it. And afterwards, people just wandering along the beach and seeing it will see
next
this
weekend,
kind of multicoloured array of stones. And that's kind of interesting, because how people sort of engage in that and feel, whether have they partaken in making a piece of art? Are they an artist through doing that? Are they, as someone going to come along and nick a stone and they're like, are they stealing a piece of art, or are they just taking a stone from the beach? So it's kind of hopefully
it's
provocative
of
different thoughts.
Yeah.
In that way.
So if I come along and throw a pebble, every time I come back past the beach over the next few weeks, I'll be reminded that was partly my bit of art.
There's mine! That one there, I'm sure that's mine.
Absolutely. And after the live part of the installation is taken away, then there will be boards on the side of the boardwalk to show what each of the colours represent as well. So then people can look at it and reflect upon people's opinions in that way.
Now, I have to ask you, are you aware what's happening on Sunday evening along the seafront?
We have been made aware, yes.
So are you a little bit concerned that the colours may end up all being blue and white?
They don't know before they answer the question, so it's impossible. So they won't know which one is blue and white.
Well, are you aware that there'll be trouble if they get red when they want
blue? I'm afraid that'll be it.
It'll be just a representation of their opinion on art. We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's art, not football.
Yeah, basically. It's definitely art. Yeah. Art for the people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Great. Well, I hope it goes well. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And come down.
Come down.
Throw some stones.
Oh, what time can people come and throw stones?
They can come 12 until 5. We'll probably, because there's generally a queue, so we'll probably stop sort of somewhere before
stop 5.
Stop the queue at 5.
Okay, and that's Saturday and Sunday.
Yep. Saturday and Sunday,
great.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Enjoy.
Bye. Walter and Zoniel there explaining exactly how to get involved with their artwork cast on the beach this weekend.
They were excitable, weren't they?
They were very excitable. And realistically, knowing that some people may want blue and white to be cast as far as their stone colours on the beach. So
red and blue around here just won't do.
There's likely to be a lot of people down on the seafront tomorrow afternoon.
I think they're going to be there on Sunday myself. I think people will be Sunday, down on... Yeah. I think people will... For those listening live on Friday, it will be Sunday. If you're listening to the Saturday morning repeat, yes, it will be tomorrow. Yes, the seafront, there's going to be an open-top bus parade for the Albion now that just got promoted to the Premier League. It's going to start just east of the Palace Pier. It will wind its way along the seafront as far as Hove Lawns. I think there's going to be some road closures from about 2 o'clock onwards. Fine if you're a pedestrian, you're going to get caught up in a crowd. If you're driving, forget it. So just as a pre-warning, 2 till 7, if you're not an Albion fan, avoid the area.
It's basically, there's lots of festival stuff going on. If you're coming into town, allow extra time and use public transport. That's it for today's Radio Reverb Festival show. And my thanks to all our guests today, especially those who took time to speak to me at Hangleton Community Centre earlier on. Also, the duo behind Spectra Cast on the Beach, Zoniel and Walter, to Melita Dennett, and of course to Alan Wares for studio producing, and Adam Julia, who came in to talk to us about Audio Active, Al for studio producing and helping me look ahead across what's happening at the weekend. And Radio Reverb's festival special, supported by Brighton Festival, is back at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning and on Monday through Friday next week, live at 5 p.m, repeated at 10 p.m. and 8 a.m. weekdays. Thanks to you for listening, and whatever you do with your weekend, it is yours. Have yourself an epic one.